Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Perhaps one of the most fascinating discoveries in the who knew category was a discovery made by marine biologist David Gruber this year. Gruber has been studying biofluorescence in marine wildlife, specifically that found around coral reefs. Biofluorescence refers to the ability to reflect blue light. This isn't the same as bioluminescence, which is created by the incorporation into the body of bacteria with the ability to produce light. Relative to biofluorescence, Gruber and others have discovered that corals fluoresce, and also a number of fish, sharks, and rays, and some tiny crustaceans and mantis shrimp. But the biologists had never expected to see a biofluorescent reptile, and especially not in the endangered hawksbill turtle. I've included a link to a video clip of Gruber's discovery of a biofluorescent hawksbill turtle. To me, it appears as if Gruber and the turtle were involved in one of those rare, natural, serendipitous events. Serendipity is sometimes defined as luck or even dumb luck, but that's not its true meaning. The word gets its meaning from a Persian fairy tale, the Three Princes of Serendip. The word was first used by Horace Walpole back in the 1700s, and he used it to describe the people who, like the three princes in the fairy tale, experienced good luck as a result of their sagaciousness or wisdom and experience. Over the years, the wisdom part of it has kind of dropped out, and serendipity is often used to mean plain old luck. But it wasn't luck that brought Gruber to that particular coral reef. It wasn't luck that brought that hawksbill turtle there. The presence of both of these individuals at that time and in that place undoubtedly had been the result of meticulous planning and wisdom, knowledge, and experience on the parts of both. The only reason that Gruber was able to see that the hawksbill turtle biofluoresced was because not only was he there when the hawksbill literally swam right beneath him, he was there with a camera, with the technology capable of filming bioluminescence. The hawksbill turtle, in order to survive at a time when it's increasingly difficult for them to survive, must have been a very sagacious turtle indeed. A turtle not prone to do reckless things. I find it easy to imagine this turtle observing Gruber and his team, watching exactly what they were doing and how they were doing it. After making all of these observations and mentally collating all this data, while Gruber was making his own observations and mentally collating his data, the two happened to come to the same conclusion, which was a mutual desire to take advantage of this situation and turn it into something else. In such a way, like the wise princes of Serendip on their travels, who superficially appeared to be experiencing some wild and crazy adventures, the turtle and the scientist weren't hapless adventurers looking for a good time. They were wise creatures, both knowledgeable about their environment, albeit each in their own way, and at that particular moment, their lives intersected. This particular turtle was a good observer, And Gruber was a good observer. He was prepared, and the turtle was prepared. Prepared not in the sense that either one was armed to the teeth, but in the sense that they were armed with wisdom, knowledge, and experience. When that Hawksbill turtle glided under Gruber and his blue light caught the Hawksbill turtle, he saw a dazzling display of green and red.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.